really love it when the Lord lets me see something in the scripture that has never really caught my attention so before. And I feel like I have some things to share today and that are from an inspiration like that. And the thing is, it'll sometimes work this way, and I just have begged the Lord to bless today and ask that you be in prayer with us too. It seems like that when it's like that, some of the things that I see, it's very hard for me to get it out in words. So I just pray the Lord will help me today to be able to express the burden today. First, I want to turn to a verse in Exodus chapter 15. This is part of the song that Moses sang after the Lord delivered him from Pharaoh at the Red Sea. Did you know that the song of Moses, he had several songs. There's Psalm 91 is one of Moses' songs. This is one of Moses' songs. I wonder if Moses sang as far as melody and had a tune with this. But did you know that Moses' song is mentioned in the book of Revelations as the song of Moses and the Lamb is sung by the redeemed? Well, this song, Exodus 15 and 2, definitely can be sung by all of us who have found the Lord dear to us. And he said, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation." Had the Lord already visited Moses and told him that when he led him out of Egypt, he was going to have him to prepare a tabernacle? I wonder. Maybe somebody can look that up sometime and find it, if there is such a. But anyway, this is the inspiration that came to him at this time. "He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation." Or was he talking about, "I want my God to rest in me, to dwell in me"? He identified God in Psalm 91 as being our habitation. "Lord, thou hast been our habitation." Anyway, just a thought. But here's what I want to speak to is about my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, he mentioned here not just my God, but I learned about this God from my father's, his own father, who was, what was his name? I can't remember what his name was. Does he have a name in the scripture? We know his mother's name was Jochebed. His father was a Levite. He was, I'm not sure the lineage there, how far down he was from Jacob. But it was very much a part of their mention of God in those days to refer to God as their father's God, and not just their own personal father, but many times they would call him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've always wondered why he was referred to like that so much. But I want to speak a little bit about my father's God. Today is Father's Day, and I kind of have the same burden that I had on Mother's Day, which is something new for me to have something that pertains to the day. But this has really been an ongoing burden since Mother's Day, is to express this burden of the type of honor that God has placed on these two roles in the home, the father and the mother, and the godly place, influence, importance that a father and a mother in the home have. When you go into the scripture and you see the whole plan of God imparting His truth to generations involves mother and a father. And especially here, I want to speak to us this morning about our fathers, God. Now, I want to go to a scene now in the book of Genesis. And I'll speak to us a little bit about Joseph. In the Genesis 48, I want to look here. The story in this doesn't just begin with Joseph. It really begins back with Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob. And the story of Jacob, and I've found that in the book of Genesis, the story of Jacob is detailed. Why did God take this man, Jacob, and detail his life? All of God's visits with him, all of God's dealings with him, to the letter, just everything about Jacob. Why have you ever wondered, why did God take a man who was from birth deceitful and dishonest? And why would God say, I've loved him? Why did God choose him? Why did he reject Esau? What made Jacob reach out after God? And what made his posterity become God's nation and point forward to the church of God, the saved? How is that? It was just, have you ever thought about that entire plan and where it started and how God dealt with people? And he called Abraham alone. Abraham had an earthly father, but he was a pagan. He called Abraham, and Abraham believed in him, and he obeyed God. And so God then promised him, I'll make out of you a great nation. So he's called the father of the faithful. He passed down his faith to Isaac. Isaac, we know, God used him in the events of Isaac's life to be a type of his own son, Christ, in that Isaac willingly gave himself as a sacrifice and went with his father, was bound on the altar, and we know that story. But Isaac, there wasn't a lot mentioned about Isaac. But then Isaac's son Jacob came up as a young lad. As we said, he was born reaching out to twist and to turn and to manipulate. As he was even being born, he was, personality and nature was evident. God dealt with Jacob and made him the father of great nations that came out of him. And this scene in Genesis 48 is Jacob down near the end of his life. He had had all these children. They had had children. There were over, let's see, he had been at this point, he had been in Egypt. I believe he had been in there 17 years. He came there with 70 of his descendants, him and his descendants, 70 people. He came there. I was just looking at all of the things about his story this morning and pondering it all. He was 90 1, when his son Joseph was born. That's how old Jacob was when his wife, that he loved from the beginning, finally gave birth to a son. He had had other sons with the others that he had. And that's a big, long story, too. But in those days, God dealt with people, and there were different laws and different customs. But in this man, Jacob, there was something. God took him and led him and guided him and visited him with all of his weaknesses and shortcomings and sins. This is what really captured me, was why did God work with Jacob? And it just came to me that God works with a man now, just like that. He doesn't take somebody who's just totally perfect from the beginning, but he takes marred, sinful human beings, and he wants to make something great out of you. And there's honor in your life today, and worth and value that it cannot be numbered, it cannot be estimated. The worth and the value of a man who will follow after God, who will give his life to him, who will yield to his dealings. This is what I see in this story. The honor, the capacity for greatness, even though there are faults and there are failings. God visits people. God loves you today. He loves you as, and I'm speaking today, not just me speaking, but I believe the Lord's burden is to encourage the fathers, to encourage those who are bringing up children as to the worth of your position and the calling God's put on you. And what he had in mind from the beginning is to bring his truth forth to the generations. And he uses a father and a mother, but there's a special blessing that he has put into a man to be a father, to bring children into the world. And he wants them to know their father. He wants his faith to be passed on through the father. And he brings this out here. When Moses rejoiced there at the Red Sea, he remembered, this is my father's God. This is what's passed on to me through these men who have taught me about him. And he valued that, and he mentioned that in the time of his triumph. People do that when they credit those who need credit many times. At times of celebration, they say, well, really, the credit goes to. And he did that. Moses did that. And these are his fathers that he's talking about. Jacob, a man who was beset by weaknesses, who had many things happen in his life. You just think about all of the things that happened to Jacob. So at 91, he fathered this son. And it says, and he didn't do so well in how he dealt with him, but you can kind of understand he's 91, and the woman that he fell in love with at the beginning, who was childless for so many years, and he had trials and tribulations with the other family that was also given to him, and he had fathered children with them. But this somehow was very special to him, and she finally had a child. I don't know how old she was having this child, but she had Joseph, and he was 91, and it said that he loved him more than his other children, which we know was a mistake. But it said because he was the child of his old age. That's what it says in chapter 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. What all had happened to Jacob before then? The visits of God. Remember when he left his home and God visited him? He left on the run, having been deceitful to his own father Isaac, and took advantage of Isaac's blindness. And I've thought before, why did God mess with him? Why did he talk to him? Why did he visit this Jacob guy? I've always wondered that, but God did. God visited him. God worked with him. And he laid down for the night while he was on his trip out in the wilderness, and he put stones there for a pillow. And laid down, and God gave him a dream. He saw this dream, and Joseph was telling us Wednesday night about how God has dealt with him in dreams, and God has dealt with people before and reached their understanding through visits in the night, and that's what he did with Jacob. And Jacob made a vow to him and a promise to him, and he asked God to be with him and to bring him safely to where he was going. And so then he went, and in his life he was deceitful, but he was also deceived. He was made the object of deceit. He served, I think it was 26 years or so, for a man who was deceitful. He told him, "You could have my daughter if you work 7 years." Jacob did work 7 years. Gave him the wrong one. Said, "Well, work another 7. So he worked 14. And then he worked more years after that. And while he was working after that, his father-in-law, whom he worked for, changed his wages 10 times, trying to get Jacob not to prosper. But God prospered him anyway. God visited him. And then came a time in his life where he had to face up with the deceit that he had pulled on his brother Esau. Again, God was with him. It says in one place that he was going on his way to meet Esau. Or maybe it was right before he learned that Esau was coming to meet him. Anyway, it said, and I've thought about this a lot, he had left his father-in-law Laban and said, "I just can't be with you anymore. You have deceived me so many times." Well, they made a promise to each other to be at peace and to not bother each other anymore. But it says he went on his way. This is chapter 32. And the angels of God met him. And he saw him. He saw this host. Jacob was visited again then. And let's see. Right after that. Okay, that's when it was that he sent to Esau and applied for grace, is what I would call it. He asked him for peace. He had just made peace with Laban. Do you see how God worked with this man? He worked with him. At this time, he had just Joseph by Rachel. I believe he had had his son Joseph. Yes. So Joseph was a small child at this time when he parted with Laban, and then it was time for him to face the music with Esau. He sent ahead and asked for help, but the angels of God had met him. At every turn, at every twist in his life's journey, God was there to work with him. God was interested in him. God was wanting to do something to bring him to greatness. He didn't want Jacob to just slip through the cracks, fall prey to his own weaknesses, and never rise to anything. But he dealt with him. And this is what really gripped my heart was how that God took a man in his weaknesses and in his faults and made him a father. He made him a father of great nation. And he gave him sons. And this last two sons, very touching how they were born, their mother, and then he has all of these visits with God. Angels visited him. Then he found out that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. And Jacob began to really call on God. Chapter 32, verse 9, he called on God for mercy. He called him, he said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac." He prayed for mercy. He said, "I'm not worthy of the least of all your mercies and of the truth which you showed to your servant." And he asked for deliverance. And he wasn't satisfied. He sent his company over the river, and he stayed that night alone. He had to get a hold of God. And I want to encourage each of you as fathers, in order to meet what you have to meet in life with your families and with your children and with the problems in life with yourself, you need to get a hold of God. Because someone needs to say someday, my Father's God. My Father, who knew God, who God worked with, who God blessed. He was 91 when he had Joseph. He had these things that were changing his nature. He was a different man by the time that he had Joseph and then later Benjamin. He had Benjamin, it looks like to me, through the scriptures, after this visit from God, when he was left alone, and there came a man and wrestled with him. It doesn't say that he went after a man to wrestle with him. Verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. So, I don't know how it happened, if he was there calling on God, and all of a sudden someone just began to tackle him. But it was, in the scriptures, you can see he called him God. And what we know is that Christ, God's Son, in forms, appeared to the Old Testament saints at different times. And this was actually Jesus wrestling with Jacob. He came and he wrestled with him. And Jacob continued the fight. Jacob wouldn't let him go. He wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob wasn't going to be won. And to me, I see this as nature. How God works with us. He works with people. And it's hard to for God to conquer us. It's hard to prevail. God working with us, we resist him and we resist him and we resist him. That's what I see in this. Maybe your thoughts may be different. But when he saw that he didn't prevail against him, he just touched him and put his thigh out of joint. He crippled him. Did you know that Jacob was crippled for the rest of his life? When he, at the end of his life, put the blessing upon his sons, he did so leaning on his staff because he no longer walked on his own. He was crippled. God touched him. God worked with this man to do what? To make him the father of great nations. And God works with us in these ways, with people. Anyway, he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. I've got to have your help. I've got to have you as my strength. You've got to be my God, the same as you were my father's God. I have to have your power in my life. That's what he was saying to him. So then he asked for his name, and he told him, my name is Jacob. This is who I am. This is what I am. And he said, I'm going to change your name. Now, you're no longer Jacob, but you're Israel, because you have had power with God. How was it that he had power with God? It was in his weakness. It was in his need. It was in his desperation that he was able to have power with God. And so he changed him to Israel, which means you have striven, you have prevailed. Then he said, I've seen God face to face, and I didn't die. God preserved him because he surrendered to the visit of God. And God preserved him and then made of him a great man. Israel. Israel is the name then that has continued to this day. Not just a literal nation, but a spiritual Israel. People who have power with God. This is a... I'm only scratching the surface of this, but it means a lot to me because I can see God's dealings with mankind in this man, Jacob. And so after this, then he had one more son, and in childbirth with Benjamin, Rachel died. So now he has two young sons in his old age. And then just shortly after that, so I don't know how old Joseph was when Benjamin was born. I couldn't find that. He was several years younger, I would say. But when he was 17 then, his father sent him to check up and send supplies to the older men, his older brothers. And we know that story, how that they hated him. They sold him into slavery. He went down to Egypt. Joseph, what was it that kept Joseph in Egypt? It was his father's God. How was it that he was able to not succumb, go kill himself, or become so in despair that he was bitter, vengeful? How was it that he became responsible in Potiphar's house? He served in Potiphar's house evidently several years because he was 17 when he went to Egypt and he was 30 when he finally came out of prison and stood before Pharaoh. So there were 13 years. So he was 2 years in the prison. So I would say it was over 10 or more years that he served with Potiphar. Potiphar's, we know the story. He was made the steward of Potiphar's house. Everything that Potiphar had was under Joseph's control, except Potiphar's wife. All during this time, it was God that blessed him. It was his father's God. From his birth to 17, his father, being a changed man, no longer the Jacob that was the dishonest man, this was a man who had power with God. This was who trained Joseph. A man who had had the visits of God. He had seen hosts of angels. He had seen a dream where God descended and us, or the angels descended and ascended on the ladder, and God was at the top. Can you imagine then the training that Joseph had? It was different from those other sons. There's just so much that you see here when you really just you think about how it was. It doesn't just say, but you look at it and you think about how it was and you can see it. So his father's God, he worshiped him. He knew his father's God was in control. This was the God that had led his father, Jacob, and been with him and touched his life and chastened him and crippled him and left him. I'm sure he asked many times, "Dad, why are you, and you're not, I know you're old, but I mean, there's a lot of old men that don't have to use a cane like this." And don't you know God or Jacob told the story to Joseph? "Joseph, this is what happened to me. This is how I used to be. This is how God met me. This is how God worked with me." He is your God, Joseph. No, you don't ever know what may happen to you, but this is what God can do for you. He can take your weaknesses. He can take your circumstances. He can bless you. I'm sure this is what put into Joseph's life before he was 17, and then it all changed, and he was taken down into Egypt. But he had something in him that kept his heart strong and true to his father's God. So he endured prosperity. His life was like a yo-yo. He was sold into slavery. Well, first he was thrown into the pit, ready to be, he knew he was going to die, then pulled up out of a pit and sent down to Egypt, and then sold to a man who exalted him to the highest level in his household, and then falsely accused, tempted, day after day after day after day, I don't know how many days or years this woman tried to get him. Finally, was so fed up that she staged a scene, falsely accused him, and he went to prison for 2 years. There, in the prison, he was again blessed by God, his father's God, and he became the head of the prison. Every activity that was done in the prison was done because of Joseph down in the prison. Later we know that the things that happened in the prison were to his advantage in being head of the kingdom. So then he thought he was going to be able to get out of prison, but then another 2 years he was forgotten. See, it was just up and down, up and down, and up and down, but the one constant in his life was his father's God. Kept him. Finally, he was 30 years old when the butler remembered. "Oh, I do remember my fault this day," he said. "There's a man in the prison who can help you, King. He can tell you your dream. He interpreted my dream to the letter. It came true." It was all in God's time. The 2 years of forgetfulness, it was all there. And so God brought him out of prison. This story, I think that's one reason why I love the name Joseph so much, is because this man, his heart toward God was so true and steady. It was his father's God. God had worked with Jacob. You think of how sometimes you're maybe worthless, and that you have faults and that you have failings, but you seek after God. You follow him and let him work with you. The things that he brings into your life, it may look like, this is not going anywhere. I don't see God working in my life to advance me, but even the setbacks, even the cripplings, even the times of being forgotten and unseen and unknown, it all has to do with God making you, using you as a vessel. And it has to do with you blessing your sons and imparting who God is to them. And God can use your weaknesses and your failings and your setbacks to bless your children. This is such a beautiful picture to me. I'm getting to where I told you I wanted to start. So, we have at 30, Joseph becomes king, or not king, but right under Pharaoh. He becomes governor, and he tells Pharaoh, "We're going to have 7 years of good and wealth, and then we're going to have 7 years of famine." So, they had the 7 years, so that puts Joseph at 37. Then they had 2 years starting the famine. And 2 years into the famine, his brothers come from wherever they were, from Canaan, down into Egypt. So he's 39. His brothers come, he recognizes them, and we know the story after that. His two interests were, how is my father? And do you have another brother? Just think about that. So the younger brother would have been somewhere in his 30s, probably. I've often thought it was just a young lad, but it couldn't have been because of the time here that he was 17 and his younger brother had already been born. So probably, I don't know, maybe he was 20s, in his 20s. If he were 11 and he's 39 now, so his brother could have been 28. I don't know, just somewhere, he could have been a little older. So somewhere in his late 20s to early 30s, Benjamin was. The other men were older. They were in their 50s and 60s that came. And he asked for his younger brother. And so you have this scene here of all that Joseph did in dealing with them, the wisdom that he had, the patience that he had, the discernment that he had, and the wise things that he did to work all of this about. God was still with him. God was still with Jacob. God kept Jacob. Just think, Jacob thought that he was just going to die. But instead, here he's many years past the time that his sons came and said, "Here's this coat we found." Jacob had kept on living. Why? God. God had kept him until that time. God wanted him to be back with Joseph again. What a wonderful story of a father and a son. And here's what happened now. Fast forwarded to when they meet the first time, which is touching too. But here in chapter 48, it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." He had been there 17 years now in Egypt. So this puts Joseph at about 56. So his sons are in their, 20s, teens, maybe, I don't know. He was 30 when he stood before before Pharaoh. So Pharaoh gave him a wife. He had two sons. And now he's 56. So how old are the boys? Teens. Someone came and said, "Your father is sick." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. One told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, 'Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession.'" And it tells here how that he adopts Ephraim and Manasseh. He said, "Now your sons are mine." And we know that they became Joseph's heir, or Jacob's heirs. The way that it all happened has been kind of a muddle to my mind, but he took Levi, and Levi didn't have inheritance in Canaan. God said their inheritance was the Lord. And so instead of Joseph and Levi having inheritance in Canaan, it was Ephraim and Manasseh. You didn't hear the land of Joseph. You heard of the land of Ephraim, the land of Manasseh. You didn't hear the land of Levi because the Levites were the priests. That was how God worked it all out when they inherited Canaan. And anyway, he kind of adopts those two boys now, and then he looked at them. It's funny because he had just been talking about them and adopting them, and then he looked at them again and said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said unto his father, "They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place." And he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age. Okay, so that's why he said, "Well, who are these?" So that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, "I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." This is overwhelming to Joseph at this point. Here's what he did. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. To me, this is the picture of not only, it's not worship that he was given his father, but it was the awe the reverence and the emotion of many years. This time that I have come to, he's saying, I've just got to bow. I've got to put my face on the ground. I can't even lift my face up. That I would see this moment. That I would be able to be with my Father, who taught me about God, and who now is able to see. I have sons. Who would have thought that I would ever have sons and that we would ever see my Father? Oh, what a scene. I've never even noticed this in the scripture before. But he just had to put his face on the ground. God, again, was here visiting the two of them in a father and a son relationship. What honor God gave to Jacob at this moment. Jacob, you had a fight. It was hard for you to overcome yourself. But aren't you glad you did? Aren't you glad you stayed with me? Aren't you glad that you made those altars? Aren't you glad that you sought me, that you obeyed me, that you and all of the things that you've come through, and now you've got a son who honors what you are so much that he put his face on the ground and he bowed himself. I told you I wouldn't know how to explain what I feel, but this scene is very touching. There's something about passing on the blessing from what God has done in your life to your son, to bringing him into personal acquaintance with God, to bring God's blessings from him. I don't know, there's just something in this. I've studied it for a long time and I still don't understand it, but there's a depth in the scriptures. There's something in the scriptures about the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. That's what Hezekiah said. There is something about God working with a man and him giving that wealth, that treasure, that economy, you might would say, the whole workings of God, passing it down and saying, son, this is what God will do for you. This is my blessing upon your life. I have been dealt with by God. I have been worked with. God is real. God's blessings are for you, and I want to bless you. Well, that's the little thought that I had today. I want you to be encouraged as fathers, old or young. There is worth. There is purpose. There's need for you. There's great difference that you make in life by being after God, by following him, by taking your weaknesses to him, and by allowing God to work in your life and in setbacks, in cripplings, in hardships, by letting God work in you. It has something to do with future generations. Let him work in you. Let him use you. And there's a great honor that God places on that. And to me, it was depicted in this verse.